Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay.
What up, Bert?
What up, squad?
Back from L.A.?
Yeah, can't you see I'm very tanned?
I could see that. And even if I couldn't see it, you would
really
be
dark.
Telling us about it.
Really dark. The sun was beaming on me. I'm really not as light as I was when I left.
I'm, on the other hand, I look like death warmed over. This is what happens this time of year.
He gets darker, you get paler. That's what you're saying?
Oh, it's so New York, like once you hit the start to exit summer, everyone turns a kind of greenish, like
well, not
I,
everyone.
A sallow. No. Literally
not
everyone.
Everyone.
No, no, actually
not
everyone.
Not everyone. Not everyone.
No, actually everyone. That's the weird thing.
Everyone. Well, I think
yes.
Jay is referring to
I understand.
Thank you, Dr.
the
Key.
Darker as, side.
So am I. I'm saying everyone looks like they could use some sun. You could just get some. And in L.A., when you live in L.A., you can't wait for it to get cold on the East Coast just so you could text your friends, pictures of the beach and stuff like that. Key's been doing that.
Yes, why not? And then I came back to a disaster of a football game yesterday.
You were there.
Jeez.
That's when you know it's tough, when everybody just takes a second to breathe. Nobody even knows what to say. Like, that's how I felt yesterday. I text Key, I'm like, at least you should leave early and beat the traffic by halftime.
Guess what? I was already gone. As soon as you said that, I was already in the car. I had sent the video. I'm already in the car. You see?
No, leaving. You know what's interesting? Like,
why would I stick around and watch the Giants do that?
Yeah.
They started off good, though. First drive.
Before
God,
the,
I love it. First
before
quarter,
there was
fourth
a
and
seven.
Inches. Go for it, Daniel Jones. You didn't just come off concussion protocol. Go for it. QB sneak.
No, Saquon. You know, the whole thing. This is the first year of 17-game regular season, but in a 16-game season, I used to think you have some outliers, some really good teams, some really bad teams. Most teams are in the middle-ish. They get a little lucky. They're 10-6, a little unlucky, 6-10. Occasionally see a matchup between a really good team and a really bad team. That's what we had yesterday. You had a matchup of, I think the Rams are an elite team, and the Giants are going to be picking near the top of the draft. And so what was, I don't even know the final score, 31, whatever it was.
38-11.
Right.
You know what, though? But we accomplished something incredible. I mean, it's 5 straight seasons that we started off 1-5.
That's true. That's hard to do.
That's an incredible accomplishment.
The Giants can't even lose well. In other words, like, have the worst record in the league in a year where you have a great quarterback prospect.
For the last 5 seasons.
Being at the game and just, you know, checking it out and seeing the game and looking at it, I know y'all going to kill me and curse me out and everything. I get it. I don't know that Dave Gettleman is the problem.
Okay.
I just don't know that.
What do you know?
What's the problem?
I'm watching the coaching. The coaching sucks. He's not coaching.
He hired the coach.
I get that he hired the coach, but when I interviewed you and hired you, you told me something different. You told me you're going to fall in line. You're going to do all the right things.
Hold
on. That's just what you tell me. Yeah. Now I go away for a couple of weeks and I come back and I find out you're not doing everything you said. That's the same thing Joe Judge did. He hired him. He's going to do the right thing. And then you got a quarterback like Jay saying, trying to sneak the damn ball on 4th and inches, got no push at all whatsoever, coming off concussion protocol.
Where he took on a defender. Where he took on a defender at the goal line.
That's a coach. That ain't got nothing to do with the general manager. The coach called that damn play and approved that play.
So you're not even looking at Garrett. You're looking at Judge.
Because Judge is – okay, Garrett is the offensive coordinator. But Judge is hired the offensive coordinator, and they're communicating. And the first thing that I'm telling him as a head coach is I don't want Daniel running the ball because he's already – you know, we're coming off concussion, so let's stay away from quarterback runs. Let's just stay away from
him. It makes too much sense, Key.
Like, it makes no sense at all.
What do you think about the record? If I told you somebody was 16-38 during their tenure, what would you say about that record?
I would need context to it, first of all.
Okay.
I don't need context. It's too long a period of time. 16-38.
So think about
that's
that.
Too many
seasons.
Games. It's too many seasons. You should be getting. Oh,
well, who are you talking about?
Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
That's his record.
But see,
What? Again. It was an exercise. It was like a blind resume. If I were to tell you.
But it had to be. It wasn't a coach.
Context would be key. I would agree with you. I know what you mean. Like, if I saw it moving in the right direction, there was a reasonable explanation for the futility until then. I don't see enough upside with it. Like, if I saw upside, not just that they're getting a little better, because if you're drafting high up all the time, you should be getting better. But if I saw upside, like, damn, they're getting ready to go on. I see upside, like, they might
be
decent.
They're not very good, man.
Right.
They're not a very good football team. But yeah. I don't know if that's the general manager or if that's the coach.
Feels like it's a combination of all the above.
It might be all the above.
Feels D,
Jay.
All the above.
It could
P.
be all the above. I mean, like, poor guy had about so many turnovers. I know he had the three interceptions, but he was, like, dropping the ball everywhere. It was just, it wasn't very good.
I mean, not interception right there. Just,
well, the receiver
just slipped
can't
and
run
fell
around
before.
Non-professional receiver.
Key was at MetLife, and he left unimpressed by the Giants' performance. But he
I left with 3 minutes left in the first half.
He wasn't the only one. You lasted that
I know
long,
exactly
huh?
when I left.
The fans were booing the Giants after their lackluster performance, and that did not sit well with Leonard Williams, who is the Giants' highest-paid player. Here is Leonard Williams at the postgame presser on being booed by the home fans.
I mean, they do bother me, honestly. You know, obviously we're in our own home stadium. I don't want to be hearing boos from our own fans. I understand that they have a right to, you know, be upset as well because they're coming to see us put, you know, good football on the field. And, you know, we haven't been winning up to date. And but at the same time, I don't know. I don't like that.
What are they supposed to do, cheer?
I mean, they started booing early, though, man. They were booing at the beginning of the game.
As a Giants fan, Key, and the Giants were never a franchise. Like, they're a powerhouse every year. They go up and down, right, and they catch lightning in a bottle sometimes. But as a Giants fan, it feels like, you know what, it was 2011 when they won the Super Bowl last. They've been so bad for so long. Like, people have had it.
It doesn't feel like it is. It is, Max. And with the talent, the problem is, though, when you think about, in Key, you and I, we talked about this, like the talent, when you think about the names, you're like, all right, like Saquon Barkley, finally healthy. Like it seems like everything was supposed to pan out this season to a degree. Nobody expected this team to go 1-5.
But they didn't have Kenny Galladay yesterday. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. They were not very good. That's all I can tell you.
It just feels like there's a, there are litany.
You didn't have to go to MetLife to figure that one out.
There are a litany of excuses. Yeah. That's what happens when you become a bad team.
That's,
right? You start
so
looking
true.
At things, yeah. Well, Kenny Galladay was out and Daniel Jones concussion protocol. But then we're sitting here talking about Lamar Jackson. I don't hear Lamar Jackson talking about excuses. And it's an unfair comparison, but life is unfair. You start looking at things. Look at this guy making the most out of nothing. Here this team is with talent, but they just can't figure it out.
It's because it's been so long, Key, that you can't look at this individual excuses. Like, if only this, that, because every year there's lots of excuses. That means, like Jay said, it's like a leaky boat. You patch up this hole, another hole springs over here. It can't just be about injuries and bad luck. Not over a 10-year period. It's before Gettleman, even. This goes to Jerry Reese toward the end of his tenure. They've just been awful.
No, they're not very good.
No.
They're not very good at all.
Well, there you have it, Giants fans.
When I hear the tone of your voice going that direction, that means you're like,
but at least,
I'm checked out. They're not
very
good.
At least here's the ray of hope. Here's the ray of hope. A lot of people think Gettleman won't even be fired, and neither will Joe Judge for many years.
Yeah, Joe Judge just didn't. He wasn't impressive to me watching him from up top. It just, there was nothing that made me go, ooh, that's my coach. Just nothing.
Yeah.
But I don't want to pile on the dude. I'll leave that up to y'all Giant fans and. Yeah. The sports talk.
There was
radio
something that made me say, "Ooh, that's my coach."
Newspapers and stuff like that. He wasn't inspiring. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything out on that field that told me this is the staff for the future.
That's really troubling because it's one thing to look at it, but it's another thing if an experienced football eye, Key, who speaks Parcellian, as always mentioned, who can look at it and say, "This is not it." I mean, and confirm what we're all thinking.
3 minutes left in the half, man. Out of there. Deuces. I wasn't.
And you stayed too long.
Yeah, I might have stayed a few minutes too long. I wasn't about to watch that.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Hopefully, we have another Manning on the way. Another Manning on the way to Giants Stadium. That'd be awesome. next couple of years. What do you think? Arch?
Arch
maybe?
Manning?
Maybe.
It's going to be a lot of people lining up for Arch. Yeah. We got to first get him to USC, as I told Eli yesterday. Once we get him to USC and we get him nice and surfed up,
yeah,
we got to get him surfed up.
Yeah.
Because we had Eli. Eli was with Eli talking, and I told him, I said, got to get him surfed up now. He's got to come with this. We're going to get him that blonde hair. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get him looking like a real surfer, and he's going to quarterback the USC Trojans to our first NFL.
I'm with it.
I mean, our first national title in a long time.
I'm all for that. As long as he winds up on the Giants, I'm good.
Just come back.
Keyshawn, J. Willem.
Get him out of the SEC. He doesn't need to be there.
Presented
come out west.
By Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance, proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Braves lost their best player, Ronald Acuña, at the All-Star break and entered the postseason with only 88 wins. Let's bring in Buster Olney. Buster, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out. How surprised are you that this Braves team, which is like excellent every year since forever, but somehow never can reach the big prize, how surprised are you that they're only two games away from the World Series?
If in this moment, I'm not surprised. That actually, Key, I'm sorry, but I picked them to win this series over the Dodgers because since the trade deadline, guys, they are the hottest team in baseball, 42-20. It's a testament to the, you know, the front office, the Braves, which was, you know, basically after Ronald Acuña Jr. got hurt, blew out his knee in July 11th. They didn't quit. They didn't tank. And we've seen other teams in baseball tank. The front office basically stepped up and said, you know what? We need to get help. We need to support the players. They went out. They got Jock Peterson. They got Eddie Rosario. You know, had the big night last night. They got Jorge Soler. They got Adam Duvall. And they've been gaining momentum. And they're a dangerous team right now.
Last night in the eighth inning with a two-run lead, obviously, the Dodgers went to the bullpen with Julio, and he came in relief. What are your thoughts on the way we used him in that situation, and it did not work out the way that it did prior games?
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with it because, look, the Dodgers, when they played that game five against the Giants, and they basically threw the kitchen sink. They had a bullpen game against the Giants, and they survived that. Max Scherzer on the mound. Well, last night what happened, that was a domino effect from what happened the other night. The Dodgers in recent days have had to scramble for pitching. And so if you're Dave Roberts and you're sitting there and you're looking at that inning, you got some left-handed hitters coming up. Arias, incredible success. You know, left-hander available. It was his bullpen day as he prepares to start game four. And so we used him in that spot, and it didn't work out. And I always go back to, you know, a conversation I remember having with Bruce Bochy, the former manager of the Giants when they won three World Series in 5 years. And I walked up to him before one of those games and said, hey, Boch, I'm trying to keep track. Are you a complete idiot today, or are you a genius? Because let's face it, when we get to this time of year, the view on some of these decisions is entirely through the prism of the results. He made a decision. It didn't work out. They lose. Now they go back home, and they've got Walker Buehler in the mound for game three.
Buster, how concerning is it that Matt Scherzer had to leave with what he called a dead arm?
Yeah. And again, another domino from the other night. Look, we love to see Max go out there in that save situation. He was perfect. He was stomping around. They finish off the Giants. Right after that game, you know, Dave Roberts was talking about, well, I think maybe Max can come back and start game one. He's 37 years old, and there's an after effect from throwing these high-stress pitches. And so you could see from the fourth to the fifth inning, his velocity dropped. He went from throwing 94-95 to throwing 91-92. And when Dave went out to get him, after 78 pitches, Max was not fighting. He was like, no, I'm done. You know, going forward, yeah, it's a concern. These innings pile up for these pitchers, and you see guys get worn down, yeah. And it's something that Dave is going to have to manage as the series goes along.
Buster Only, ESPN Baseball Insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Okay, Buster, I'm not mad at you. I know you picked the Braves in this particular series, but we are down 2-0. We're going home. This is baseball. We've got a long ways to go. What do we need to do to get even?
Well, first off, I mean, having Walker Buehler on the mound in Game 3, he's the perfect guy. He's been their best pitcher this year. You know him. He's not afraid. He's going toe-to-toe. They're going to have the home crowd. And these series in the postseason, they change momentum so quickly. Now, a concern for the Dodgers is the fact that the Braves are rolling out another guy who knows something about October pressure, and that's Charlie Morton. And if you get through, if the Dodgers win Game 3 and you got Arias starting in Game 4, they could be even. And while on one hand, I think from the Braves' perspective, you know, they are a better team than they were a year ago, from the Dodgers' perspective in these moments, their postseason experience becomes a weapon. None of these guys, you know, all these guys have been through this before. The one big difference between the Dodgers last year and this year, however, and a concern, is that their offense just simply is not as good. They don't have as much margin for error. Losing Max Muncy, an incredibly underrated injury, because in every situation, he would always generate great at-bats and stress opposing pitchers. And, of course, he's out in this series.
Yeah, you know, we're talking to Buster Olney here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Buster, whatever decisions Dave Roberts has made, they had to just throw everything at the Giants, and it worked. They advanced, right? So now you got to deal with the repercussions, because the alternative was you go home and you're not even in the series. And because they did not win the division, though they have now won 110 games this year, including the postseason, they were forced to start on the road. Like, that's how the cookie crumbles. Okay, let's get to the American League here. The Red Sox, Kike Hernandez, has been amazing so far this postseason. This really bothers me because the Red Sox have me rooting for the Astros. Just like add it to the list of reasons why I hate the Red Sox. But have you ever seen a player come out of nowhere to be this good in the playoffs?
The only time where I saw a guy this hot in the postseason was Daniel Murphy. Remember, he had that incredible run for the Mets. What was it, in 2015, where it felt like he was getting a home run every other at bat. Kike Hernandez is having that type of run, where when he doesn't get a hit, you're surprised. Yeah. And I got to believe that there are general managers all around baseball feeling like, oh, my God, why didn't we sign this guy? You know, last offseason, he was a free agent, and he got a two-year, $14 million deal. I had someone in the Dodgers organization say to me, boy, you know what, maybe that's the direction we should have gone last offseason. He's been phenomenal. I know in my conversations with Red Sox manager Alex Cora, they targeted him early in the offseason because they love his experience, they love his positive energy, and they love the fact that he'd been in the postseason so often. And that's certainly playing out. And I got to say about this series, man, it's 1-1, but it feels like the Astros have a mountain to climb because they've had all these injuries to the starting pitchers. I don't know where Dusty Baker finds the pitching to win this series.
Mm. Buster, you reported last week that the Yankees are inclined to keep Aaron Boone. Why do you think so?
Jay, because they know him. And let's face, you know, in the last three full seasons he's had as manager, they've averaged 98 wins. He has a really good working relationship with Brian Cashman, but I don't think it's a certainty that he comes back. You know, last week, the front office basically fired his best friend, Phil Nevin, their third base coach, fired two other coaches, the hitting coaches, including Marcus Thames. And it's a complicated situation because Boone's contract is set to expire right after the World Series. This is not a case where the manager has 1 year left on his deal and he doesn't have any options. Boone doesn't have to work out a deal to come back. Now, since they fired Phil Nevin, what we haven't heard from Boone's camp, from his agent, is, you know what, he's done, he's walking away. So I suspect that they'll work this out either on some kind of like a 1 or 2 year extension, where he comes back in 2022, but that's not certain in this moment. But it goes back to, I think, the working relationship between Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. I think Hal Steinbrenner, their owner, wanted change, but he's not going to force Brian Cashman to fire Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone is not the problem here. Come on, everybody. That is Buster. Right. Come on, Aaron Boone's not the problem. If Steinbrenner and Cashman want to look at anyone, look in the mirror. All right, that's Buster Olney on the Goodyear Hotline.
Buster, no response for that.
That's right. Buster's like, oh, come on. They're
come
really
on.
Good. They are, but
Buster's
they're not
like,
the
we
best.
We don't have enough time.
I demand the best. All right. The road to the World Series. Thank you, Buster, as always. Always
thanks,
great
Buster.
Talking to you.
See you guys.
Lousy Yankee fan over here screaming in my ear.
That's right. That's right. Sorry about that. I hate it when people suddenly yell when I got the earpiece in. The road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Speaking of New York teams, we'd like to see make changes. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
All right, time for Key Observations. Key Observations is brought to you by Geico. Happy Geico-ween. Switch to Geico and see if saving money is in your future. Key just had a key observation behind the scenes. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit later. All right, let's go. It's Key Observations.
Number one.
Get into it now if you want, but we have things to do.
Yes, we got bills to pay. Daniel Jones, number one, Daniel Jones. He still hasn't figured out how to not turn the damn ball over. Watching that yesterday was just ridiculous. Now, he had the three interceptions, and I don't know how many fumbles he had, but it looked like every time I turned my head and look up, they were scrambling for the ball because he was losing it.
Fumbles Jones.
You cannot be an NFL quarterback giving the ball to the other team as many times as he has. I thought that he fixed the problem earlier in the year. Clearly, he has not. He is not the future quarterback of the New York Giants. They're going to have to find a guy.
Number two,
Matthew Stafford. When I watching that game yesterday from the stands, I said to myself, oh, okay, this is why Sean McVay decided that Jared Goff wasn't the right answer. Matthew Stafford was out there just slicing and dicing with Cooper Kupp. Man, I couldn't believe that the Giants allowed him to just pick his poison any way he wanted, which way. Give it to him, 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 give it to him. Nothing they could do. Sorry, Jay, part of it.
Number three,
Joe Burrow is a team that I believe in the Cincinnati Bengals could potentially challenge the Ravens for the division. The Cleveland Browns, I'm taking them off the board. They got a lot going on. Now you're going to eventually hear that OBJ is not going to be happy in that situation. That's going to add more to the layer. But Cincinnati, Mixon and Chase and things that they're doing, once they get a full healthy Higgins back in the groove, this team can be serious in terms of making a push finally in the division since Marvin Lewis was not the head coach.
Number four.
Speaking of Cincinnati, let's just go back to Joe Burrow. And you talk about why a decision to take Ja'Marr Chase was the wrong decision over an offensive lineman. I just believe that you can find a wide receiver just like they did the year before with T. Higgins. They could have found a guy in the late first, second round and still had a solid future Hall of Fame type left tackle to protect that young quarterback.
Number four.
And number four, the Jaguars get their first win. Woo! They beat the troubling Dolphins all the way in London, my friend. You know, Jay, I was up watching that. I watched the game. I got a chance to watch the Jaguars and the Dolphins. It's really early, but at least I watched. And Brian Flores, is he another Belichick assistant that cannot figure out how to win on a consistent basis?
Well, that track record isn't good, huh?
It just doesn't feel right, right? And I don't know what it is with Brian Flores, because one minute his defense is really good, and then the next they're not. And they're in the mix, and then they're not. In the Tua situation, I sit back and I say to myself, you can't tell me that they don't sit back sometimes when they're in their meetings talking to each other and saying, damn, we should have drafted Justin Herbert. Can't tell me that. And Tua played well yesterday, but not well enough.
It's a different class of quarterback, no doubt about it.
Number five.
And number five, final, the Cardinals, Jay's favorite team is 6-0. You
Red
know,
Sea!
It's his team. He wants the Red Sea to attack me, go after me. It's like piranhas biting at my heels all day long. 6-0, and they get Zach Ertz from the Eagles. He hasn't even played yet. They're, as they say, the rich get richer. And this is a situation where they decided that Williams wasn't enough at the tight end spot for them, that they're going to find a guy in Zach Ertz and implement him into the game plan at some point in time, and Kyler Murray gets another weapon added to his cast of characters that he has.
I mean, the Cardinals, I think of a couple games now this year.
Get him, Red Sea. Go after Keyshawn.
Go get him.
Win I think backs. Of a couple games this year, like the Rams game, when the Rams, like, are they the best team in football? The Cardinals spanked them at L.A. And now the Browns are supposed to be competitive, not close. And just the way they had this little – they had the infrastructure because they had the quarterback, they had some pieces. But we always talk about – and Key, you've been talking about like name brand versus the reality, right? So J.J. Watt wasn't J.J. Watt anymore when they got him, but he could still play.
I mean, he's
Zach,
a guy.
Zach Ertz is not an all-pro player anymore, but you got to account for Zach Ertz. He can help you. A.J. Green is not one of the top three receivers or four receivers in the game, but he's still good. They, like, just added a whole bunch of good veteran pieces to this team.
And that's what you need sometimes.
Omaha, can I call an audible at the line of scrimmage here just for 1 second? Because I know you're going down the whole Cardinal route.
Yeah.
I have, like, and Key's been saying it, and it's starting to bother me because the way he is playing, I think right now he might be the best deep threat in the NFL. And a lot of that has to do with the continuity between him and Joe Burrow. I think the Bengals got the pick right. Everybody goes back and goes to Penny Sewell. And I just don't think you can find another receiver off the streets, Key, that's like Ja'Marr Chase right now.
You know, they got it right for what they want to do. I wouldn't have personally selected it. I probably would have took it off.
Knowing if you knew what you know right now, you still would have taken Penny Sewell.
Because I can point to a lot of receivers – in the league, you don't have to take a receiver that high when you have a guy that is a difference maker to protect the quarterback. Ja'Marr Chase is a difference maker. There's no question about it. But I'd rather have a left tackle that's going to play 18 years than have a receiver that at any moment –
I felt that way at the draft.
Could do like this.
Key, I felt that way at the draft, but you have to acknowledge, like, when you get results like this right away
– yeah, but the receiver is only touching the ball – he's only touching the ball four, five, six, seven times a game. Where a left tackle, he's in every single play. He's in every single play. If they're running 60 plays, he's in 60
Think
of
about
them.
How many times in recent years, though, they have gone and gotten the quarterback, a guy they played with in college, in the draft. So they even like in Jacksonville, it's like his running back, but a teammate in a skills position – I think a lot of that's about because they start these quarterbacks so young now, making him comfortable.
No, there's no question it was the right pick. But when you take a receiver that high, he has to be such a change maker and a difference maker to a whole – it's almost like taking a quarterback. Like, he's got to come in and change the entire team.
He's doing it, though.
Yeah, he's a receiver, man. He's a receiver. They had receivers that were good. Boyd and T. Higgins was
real good.
So you add another guy, you can push back and maybe get him. Or you can add another guy in the later round, and I still get my tackle is all I'm saying.
I just, man, watching him play, for all the talk that was happening in the preseason about him having to drop
season. Yeah, people thought he was a fumbles.
I mean, he's Offensive Rookie Player of the Year. I mean, it seems like he's moving in that direction.
Well, like I said when we had the conversation in the preseason, he'll be fine. He'll understand the rotation of the ball. There's no stripes on the ball. The ball's shaped a little bit different. He'll understand the speed of the game. And, in fact, he said that shortly after, and it's paying off for him.
He's putting up young Randy Moss numbers
right now.
Like, it's insane. And, yeah, they have a good core receiving core before him. But sometimes instead of addressing a weakness, you go over the top on a strength. They went over the top on a strength. Joe Burrow's having a field day out there.
Yeah, they're a good team. That's why I think they could challenge the Ravens eventually. We'll see, though, right?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Rex Ryan, ESPN
Rex.
Football analyst, joins us.
Want that LSU job, Rex?
No.
Next.
Actually, that'll pay so much. Yeah, I'll take that job. Keith, thank you very much. I accept the LSU job. And go Tigers.
You'd be a hell of a college coach, man. You would turn that program upside down.
I'd recruit. I'd probably break
last
everything.
Time you coached?
In college, I don't know. I took a team that was 80-something in the country to six, I think.
Wait, Oklahoma?
One year at Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Let's see. At Cincinnati, I think we were fourth in the country in D, 13th one year, I think. So, disappointing.
So, you were Oklahoma with Blake?
I was, yeah, for one year. Yep.
With Coach Blake?
And then I took a job at Kansas State to be the DC there for about a month, and I went into the league.
Yeah, you would have been a good closer during college.
Dude, I can recruit. I tell you what.
But they would have been on probation in a week.
I was a decent recruiter. I think we did. I think we had, probably go on probation. But I think I did sign 14 NFL players in one recruiting class once at OU. So, and let's see, the Jim Thorpe Award winner, the Rocky Kalmus was the Buckus Award winner, all those type of guys.
Who you had? Roy? Yeah, Roy.
Roy Williams.
Yeah, Roy. Yeah.
Wow. So we had some good
guys.
How
did y'all get him to come from California?
Hey, no, see, probation. Probation.
No, his aunt, for real, his aunt came by one day, and she worked in our cafeteria, and she goes, "My baby, you need to look at my baby." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, yes, ma'am. I'll look at the tape." I'm like, "Oh, my God. We got on a plane that day.
That's how it happened?
Let's go get him." That's how it happened. So yeah, take a look at it. Oh, my goodness. Like, you know, most of those things, like 99.9%, you're like, "Oh, my God.
Why are you guys always losing people from California?
He can't play dead in a B Western. This kid, oh, God, was he good."
Oklahoma pays more.
Jeez.
That's right. Oklahoma pays more.
Well, Caleb Williams is killing it, so good for them.
What was your biggest takeaway from that Cowboys-Patriots game yesterday, Rex?
Dallas is pretty dang good, man. I mean, this game is close only because they turned the ball over twice in a red zone.
Was that a fumble? The dive, was that really a fumble?
Well, it is in New England. Yeah. But if you get this is 567 yards of offense for Dallas.
Yeah.
That's the most a Bill Belichick coach defense has ever given up. And I'm including him being a head coach or a D coordinator. All right. 567 yards. That's hard to do against a Bill Belichick team. It's never happened. And that's how good this offense is. And by the way, Amari Cooper's not even healthy yet. Oof. Wait till he gets another week. Two more weeks, he'll get healthy. Gallup ever comes back. Like, I'm telling you, this team is – I don't want to say it. I don't believe in them either, but I have to. Like, my eyes are telling me this is a really good football team.
They got a difference maker on the defensive side now too, who can get you who can get you extra possessions.
Yeah, they have a couple of them, and you're right. But that Diggs has been amazing. It's almost like when are people, and I get it. They gave up the deep post for a touchdown at the end.
Was a blown coverage, though, huh?
Well, it was played poorly by both Diggs, who undercut it, missed the interception.
And the safety.
And then the safety, I'm like,
"Yeah, what are you doing?
You got to cut that dude in half."
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Well, I think he closed his eyes.
Yeah.
That looked like a close-your-eye moment, right? I mean, because he went right past him, touch him.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. You have to have close-your-eyes.
and you know what's funny? All of us who have played, it's like, you know, does that really happen? Yeah, it really happens.
It happens. Close, like, they close their eyes.
I'm going to hit him. No.
Rex, you know how my brain works. So after the game, I'm listening to Dak Prescott on the podium, and he's talking about Kellen Moore drawing up the play and giving him his love, right? I'm like, all right, another Kellen Moore reference. And in the back of my mind, I got Rex sound in my head saying, Kellen Moore, he's going to be out of position one day. What do you even think about end of game, just some of the breakdowns from McCarthy from a management perspective? Once again, I feel like every weekend we're on this, but it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Nobody can't get right. Like, so it's one of those things right now to where, oh, my gosh, it's like he doesn't, you know, he's like, yeah, I'll just show up and all that. And then here it happens again and again. And he knows better, but yet, like, the when you call a timeout, when you don't, all that stuff. It's past him. And I know Key – look, I've been called crazy several times in my life. Like, that dude's crazy. And I know Key thinks I'm crazy when I say that. I could see that eventually they can move on. And it's like, how? He may win coach of the year, guys.
Yeah.
And they'd move on at the same year.
Move on because, look, no way do you want Kellen Moore leaving your building.
Well, you just pay him more money, though. They already did it once, right? They did it with
trying to go cheap on me to get me to be decornered for $2 million. I'm like, no,
but I don't have Jerry's money though.
So much money that it's.
But think about
it
though. But think about it though, Rex. They upped the ante when he was going to go to Boise State.
Right.
And take a look at that as a head coach job. So they said, we got something for you. And go back to the Jason Garrett situation when Wade Phillips was there. He was the highest paid. He was making $3 million a year as a coordinator because they didn't want to lose him as a head coach. So my only thing is, if I'm happy with Mike McCarthy and they go and run the table and win a championship or get close to winning a championship, you just say, hey, I'll give you whatever it takes to keep you as an OC until such due time that I'm willing to part ways from Mike McCarthy.
And that certainly could happen. But this is the same guy that let Jimmy Johnson go after winning the Super Bowl. And it's like, I don't care who the head coach is. I'm going to bring in Barry Switzer.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And he won two Super Bowls. So, look, Jerry will do things his way, but – no way. Like, if Kellen Moore sits back and says, no, I want to be a head coach, I still think Jerry may just say, you're my head coach. Like, it could be a tough
dilemma. Switzer won one with Jimmy Johnson's players. Okay, Jimmy Johnson had won two. Then Barry Switzer won one. But didn't the Jimmy Johnson situation have a lot to do with Jimmy Johnson getting a lot of credit and attention and his ego, and Jerry kind of didn't want that? And I think Mike McCarthy was brought in precisely because he's not going to give you a Jimmy Johnson, because Jerry will get the credit. You know, right. Doesn't that play into this?
Maybe so. But look, Jerry was smart enough to hire Kellen Moore, boy wonder, as his offense coordinator. Right? When I saw him, I'm like, look at that little punk, man. Oh, that guy can coach. Like, that dude can coach. So I got to give him credit. He might not look the part, but that dude can coach.
Can they win the Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy, though, as the head coach?
Look, I'd like to say no, because, you know, I just think you got to have a heck of a lot better clock management and decisions. You know, I don't believe you can.
Why yesterday in the Chargers game, Brandon Staley went for it, backed up on his own 19-yard line. Why defensive coaches
really
always do stuff like that?
No, my butt. I never did that. Look, this dude right here, he makes two things.
My butt.
Thank you, my ass. They go for it twice, backed up, inside. And you know who was waiting for it? Baltimore. Baltimore's like, oh, I hope this guy goes for it, backed up. And what happened? They did twice, and they put their best player in position, say, all right, go ahead and pitch it over there where Marlon Humphrey is. Go for it. It's fourth down. Go for it. And they did twice. Marlon Humphrey won both of them, and now you're giving up points right there in the game. It's game, set, match. And it's, to me, like, there's so many, like, weird decisions. Like, since when is it okay to go for it in your own territory? Like, and that's – but we're saying how brilliant the guy was. This guy, oh, my God, is brilliant. Yeah, because it worked against Cleveland.
Yeah, it worked against Cleveland.
Because they're playing off coverage and when they got no business playing off
coverage. But, Coach, let me ask you something. But – on the one hand, I understand what you're saying, and it's highly unusual, and there's a huge downside to that, to the risk. On the other hand, you're talking about they were waiting for it, right?
Absolutely.
So are you claiming that, period, you never do that? Or are you claiming that when you see how the defense is preparing, you got to adjust?
Yeah, it's a different situation when it's game on the line. I get that. That's when you go for it. Okay, we all remember the time when Belichick went for it against the Colts on a fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And remember,
but he didn't trust the defense, though.
Of it. But that's exactly why.
Yeah.
This guy's doing it at you know, second quarter, third quarter. It's not game on the line. We saw a mistake by McCarthy mentioning him. He goes for it fourth and one. You have a rookie quarterback you're facing on the other side. The hardest points to get in a game are your first points, and you're going to gift them. You get stopped right there, you gift the team points. It makes no sense. Analytics get your butt fired, or ass fired, if you will. So to me,
both of them.
I just think it's people got to get back, man.
I should have told you you could say that.
Yeah, I can't say it now. But
Rex, quick question for you. Why is it not working with Baker?
Look, man, Baker's doing a good job. Baker Mayfield's a really good quarterback. He's not elite, guys. He's not. If you think he's Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, there's a list that goes on and on. He ain't that.
Organized Chaos, the podcast with Bart Scott and Rex Ryan. Wherever you get your podcast, KJM, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.